We're set. Good morning. Well, good morning, everyone, and I'd like to call the meeting to order. And item number one on the agenda is the Pledge of Allegiance. This morning, I'd like to ask our Deputy Auditor Controller, Enedina Garcia, to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Please come forward.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Move on to item number two, approval of the agenda. Do I hear a motion?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes. Public presentation. This portion of the meeting is reserved for persons desiring to address the audit committee briefly on any matter not on this agenda within the committee's subject matter. Any public presentations? Okay. Seeing none, we will move to item number four, approval of December 8th, 2022, audit committee meeting minutes. Okay.
Motion to approve.
Okay, we have a motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes. Moving on to item number five, consent items. Approval of the quarterly fraud covering October 1, 2022 to December 31, 2022. Any comments on that?
Just a general comment. That echo that's coming through that computer, we got to shut that off.
Just need to turn this down.
Everything on that computer says it's muted, so I don't know why.
Check. Is that good? Do you hear it now? I think it's off. I don't hear it now. Perfect. Thank you.
I thought that was Paul Dictos.
The voice of God.
Okay. We. Okay, that was item number five. I lost track. Do we have a motion on item number five?
I'll make a motion.
We have a motion.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes. Number six, discussion and action items, review and accept 2021-22 County of Fresno Annual Comprehensive Financial Report.
So we have Brown Armstrong on the call, and they'll be introducing the item.
Okay.
Can you do me a favor, speak a little
Thank you for allowing me to present here today. My name is Eric Shin. I'm the audit partner for the county's ACFR audit. First of all, I would like to thank the county finance reporting staff for their hard work and support. I would like to briefly explain our audit scope and audit process here. We performed audit of the financial balances and internal controls over financial reporting for the county for fiscal year 2022. Our scope of procedures includes inquiry, confirmation, substantive testing, and analytic procedures. The following are the most significant audit areas we focused on during our audit this year: cash and investments, receivable and revenue, capital assets, accounts payable, accrued liabilities and expenditures, long-term debt, pension liabilities, budget compliance, and also we performed testing relating to fraud risks, relating to travel expenses, payroll overtime approval, and some remote cash collection size controls. Our audit testing resulted in certain audit findings this year that we are required to bring to the board's or audit committee's attention. As a result of the audit, we issued the following audit reports. They are independent auditor's reports, which is resulting in a modified or clean opinion. Also, we issued a report over internal control on financial reporting and compliance and other matters. This report we issued with a modified opinion with one material weakness findings on internal controls over financial reporting. The finding was a result of staff turnover issues in accounting and financial reporting areas for some of the county's departments, in especially the audit controller's office. The new staff, a lack of training, experience, and necessary governmental accounting knowledge. Finally, I have some required audit communications with the audit committee here. The county adopted governmental accounting standards board statement number 87 leases during the fiscal year June 30th, 2022. There are some sensitive accounting estimates for the financial statements, management's estimates of pension liabilities and related items, landfill closure and post-closure costs, and self-insurance claims liabilities. We evaluated key factors and assumptions used to develop these estimates and determined that they are reasonable in relation to the overall financial statements. The financial statements disclosures are neutral, consistent, and clear. We did propose a few material adjusting journal entries during our audit. These entries related to CSA loan payable, tenants' improvements for building leases, and payments for accreted interest relating to the capital appreciation bonds. We did not have any disagreement with management during our audit. We did not consult with other accountants during the audit. Our discussions with management during our normal course of professional relationship and our responses were not conditions to our retention. We encountered no significant audit difficulties during the audit. Finally, we did not detect any fraud or abuse issues relating to county's employees or management. This concludes my brief presentation. I'm now open for any questions you may have.
Thank you, sir. Are there any questions or comments from the board? Supervisor Magzik?
One quick question. You indicated that in the department there's challenges keeping staff. Did the auditor tax collector share with you steps that they're taking to try to retain employees longer?
Hello?
I don't know, Eric. This is Oscar Garcia, by the way, auditor controller. So I think Supervisor Magzik asked a question, and we have not let them know. But we did go to the board, and the board has approved something, but they're still working with the bargaining unit as to what is going to be done to retain people, because we had a hard time keeping people past 1 year in the that area, and that area builds upon last year, and not a whole lot of them had last year experience type of deal. And the loans, they were pension obligation bonds that were all interest and then balloon payments for principals right at the end. Those were from 2004. Those are coming to maturity. One matured in 21. The second one matured in 22, and they're going to keep maturing. So when that happens, there has to be a transaction that happens in the government-wide area, which means it's not in the governmental funds themselves. It's when we convert over to the full accrual, and that's where the $25 million he was talking about, or $35 million he was talking about, did not go in there. So it's being addressed going forward. It shouldn't be a problem going forward. It will not be a problem going forward. We have a couple of managers here, Carol and Angelica is brand new to the manager roles, but they have that experience now, and we're hoping to retain staff a little longer, hopefully in the 3 to 5 year range, as opposed to less than 1 year. But once I did want to point out a couple things. This is a draft. There's a draft on there, and pages 17 18 and 32, I believe, the audit committee that they received. You received that. We made some changes. It's cosmetic changes in there. There isn't a whole lot of materiality, but that's something that we have to do that. We're still working with the Eric and his team, and when we take it to the board, it should be finalized. And we just wanted to give you some items here. But I do want to point out page 17. I don't know if we can put page 17 up. I want to briefly touch upon that. And it's actually physical page 17. I'm not sure that, Carol. And I believe CAO Nerland had asked me this question, how it was going to impact the budget, and I want to kind of clarify. So if you see that use of money and property, the general fund itself has $13,850,000 negative interest. So how that is possible, our treasury pool, we invest a five-year duration bonds, and there is a GASB called GASB 31 that says what is the value of these maturities as of year end. So it we had a loss. It was only a paper loss, not an actual loss. So we have to reflect that. I know it looks a little weird that we have negative interest, but we're not, it is not realized. We're not going to have a loss of that.
So to explain that further, basically what that means, if you would have had to sell those bonds that day, you would have to sell them at a discount because the interest rate being paid on similar style bonds were at higher rates.
Correct.
So they're losers, so to speak. And that's just what that's reflecting. But we don't sell.
We
hold
to
maturity.
We hold on to them until they mature. Therefore, we're not going to recognize that loss. It's just on paper.
Yep.
But it kind of looks like we had losses, but it was not losses. Is there any other questions I can address on the?
No other questions from the board. Any questions from the public? Seeing none.
Thank you.
We have a motion to approve. We need one or presentation only.
Move to accept and approve.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Item B, review and approve the Department of Social Services Department Head Transition Report.
Hi, Carol Diaz with the Financial Reporting Audits. And we conducted a department head transition report for the Department of Social Services. The report that you have is dated August 24, 2022. On the report, you will find the procedures that we perform. And one of the procedures was to examine cash under the control of the exiting department head. The review resulted in one exception. One of the exceptions was on cash handling. When we went to the Department of Social Services location, there were two cash funds, and during the cash count, one of our accountants observed the custodian of the petty cash count the cash, and it was observed that when the custodian of the cash fund was looking for supporting documentation, the cash box where, you know, that was in front of them, she left it unattended while she was looking for the supporting documentation, so that resulted in a finding. And the reason why it got to the report was because we had already seen this repeated action on a previous transition report. So, and then another instance occurred when they were counting the Adult Protective Services cash fund. This was a cash drawer, and same thing with the other cash box. When the staff counting the cash was looking for supporting documentation, she had her back turned away, and you know, with the cash drawer open and the cash out there. So we normally recommend that cash should not be left unattended, even if it's for a brief second. It should always be locked at all times. And we have the department here to answer any questions if you have one.
Okay. Any questions from the board? None? Supervisor, then?
I'm good.
Okay, any questions, any comments or questions from the public? Okay, seeing none.
I just wanted to add to that same audit that was performed. We did have another exception on the compliance, and this was related to conflict of interest filings. There was one out of 30 employees who did not sign the form within the 15 days after quarter ending. And then this was for the gifts and gratuities form. And then two of the 30 employees did not sign the form in a timely manner. And another four did not fill out the form completely. And this was for form 700.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Do I hear a motion?
I'll make a motion to accept and approve.
Okay, motion for Ms. Gilbert, second?
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, opposed? Motion passes. Item C, review and approve the Department of Public Health Emergency Medical Services Authority, EMSA, report for fiscal year ended June 30th, 2022.
Hi, again. So we did conduct an agreed upon procedures to assist the Department of Public Health with the county's compliance with the requirements of a state revenue agreement. On the report, you will find the procedures that we perform. One of the procedures was to verify that all costs incurred have been in accordance with the contract and the Emergency Medical Services Authority. There was an exception noted, and this was due to personnel positions funded by the agreement did not include a budgeted amount for the staff analyst classification. So when we were reviewing the reimbursement claims that goes out to the state. There, for quarters 2, 3, and 4, that requested reimbursement had the personal expense, which included a staff analyst position. Okay. And I believe we have the department here to answer any questions.
Okay. Any questions from the board? Okay, any comments or questions from the public? Okay, thank you. Seeing none, I'll accept the motion.
I'll make a motion.
Okay, we have a motion. Second. Is there a second? We have a second. All in favor? Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you.
On this next item, I sit on the First Bar Commission, so I'm going to abstain from the vote on this one. Is it the first
bar? Item D or number 7?
D.
D. Okay.
Yes.
So noted. Okay. Staff updates. Mr. Garcia, no staff updates?
Item D. Oh, for, yeah.
Oh, I thought we heard item D.
Item D?
Oh, she's abstaining.
First five.
Okay, sit down, Oscar. Five. I'm sorry. Item D, review and receive the 22 First Five Comprehensive Annual Financial Report.
So good morning, everyone. I'm Luis Maganis, Business Manager at First Five Fresno County. I'm joined today by Alex Hillis, Business Director at First Five Fresno County, and representative of our audit firm, Osvaldo Gutierrez. An audit firm is Price Page & Company.
You can turn that mic on. Just press that button.
Oh, sorry about that, guys. I think you guys heard me though, right? I'll have to start all over again. So before you today is the First Five Fresno County audit for fiscal year 2022. Osvaldo will present the audit, but first, quick background on First Five Fresno County. Over 20 years ago, the passage of California Proposition 10 created First Five California, which ultimately led to the creation of First Five Fresno County. Per the legislation, the audit is required to be completed on an annual basis and submitted to the State Controller's Office and First Five California. Additionally, per the county ordinance, we are required to present the annual audit to the Board of Supervisors, hence why we are here today. Osvaldo will now provide a summary of the fiscal year 2022 audit.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Osvaldo Gutierrez, and I'm from Price Page & Company. Good to see you again. I feel like we always kind of run into each other throughout the community. I'll keep this very brief. Price Page & Company, I'm an audit manager, and we've been serving the First Five for a couple years now. So we do specialize in government and nonprofit audits, so this is what we do. We have previously presented to the Board of Commissioners for the First Five. Supervisor Pacheco is on that board, and others as well. So we'll keep this very brief. Overall, we do have an audit process, very similar to what Eric Shin explained about the countywide process, except it's at a, obviously a smaller scale. You have the financial statements in front of you. They definitely have a lot of data. We do look at a lot, but we do key in on certain areas that, based on our risk assessment, we need to review every year. So obviously, cash and investments is always a risk. Capital assets, revenues, expenditures, and of course, similar to the county, GASB 87 for the leases. There's always new rules for GASB pronouncements. Some of them are easy peasy. Some of them are just, why do they implement those rules? By either way, they are important because the goal every year with those new pronouncements is to make things more clear and understandable, but that can be debated as well. So, bottom line is it's getting in line with the private industry where whenever there's a new rule for the private accounting, GASB follows suit. And the whole point is to make American accounting similar across the board, with the exception of governmental accounting being slightly different. But it's just to get more clarified and unified across the nation. So that's why these rules always come up. So it is what it is. The audit report, we issued a clean opinion, unmodified opinion, which is the best result. And the financial statements are fairly presented in all material respects. A lot of times you hear that a lot with a lot of presentations that you may hear, but when we say that, it does carry weight to it because we are also signing our report on that financial statement. So that means we did all our work and there is nothing that we needed to change or report to you as the Board of Supervisors and Audit Committee, so which is fantastic. At the back of the report, there's also a government auditing standards report, very similar to what Eric presented. So there's nothing that we need to report to you as the board. We have worked closely with the commission. They've been great to work with. At the same time, we do remain independent, and it is important for us to also question things, ask for support when needed. So it's not like, you know, a lot of times people always ask, hey, after, you know, multiple years, are you getting too comfortable with them? That is ingrained in us as CPAs because we have to remain independent, and we also have to be diligent, because if we are not and that gets reported, we lose not only our licenses, but there's actually like a semi-annual letter of you being on the naughty list and you won't be a CPA anymore anywhere. So it is not our incentive to not do that. Not saying that it doesn't happen throughout the state or the nation, but it's important to us. So we just want to make sure you understand that as well. So nothing else critical that we need to talk about unless you have questions about the financial statements or the audit process. Yes.
So there's an explanation, and I want you to share it, but when you take a look at the financials,
yes,
the overall net position is growing. But so I'm looking at page 6 specifically. But when you turn and look at page 7 and page 8, and you take a look at revenues and expenditures, you see that the change on page 7, change in net position, is $6 million to the negative. On page 7, how what is the explanation for that?
So I have to take a look at it again. The question now becomes, hey, how come net position overall is growing, but why was there a loss in the current year? So the formula for that number, if you go to page 8, that kind of, that does make it a lot. Actually, let's go to the main financial statements. So if you go to page 12 and 13, you'll see that that's the government-wide balance sheet, right? And page 13 is the government-wide income statement. So that is a very good snapshot of how everything's going. So for page 13, you can see that the change in net position for full accrual accounting is a positive $3.4 million. It's the third number above. That flows into the calculation for net position on the previous page of $43 million. So the way it works is you have your beginning, quote unquote, retained earnings, like your carry forward, plus your net income equals your ending retained earnings, or in this case, net position. So the numbers you're looking at, if I'm not mistaken, those are like the modified accrual accounting. So I can take a quick peek at that. That is...
So if general revenues are decreasing, it needs to be made up from somewhere.
Oh, yes. There was an influx last year, and I believe that was the addition of the Lighthouse capital assets. Is that accurate? Yes, that's what it was. So if you recall, last year there was an analysis we had to perform, which was always fun. There's the First Five Commission and the Lighthouse nonprofit. The Lighthouse dissolved because they satisfied their completion of their New Markets tax credits, where they got revenues to purchase the building. And by default, every year we have to do an analysis to see who really owns these numbers. So in this case, the First Five had enough control and monetary involvement where there shouldn't be a separate entity. There still is a separate entity, but the First Five is required to now add that entity's activity on their financial statements. So last year, the capital assets and the related, you know, assets and related liabilities were added to First Fives. So there was a big influx of that recognition of the income that now, before it wasn't there, now it is. But moving forward, it's going to be a year-to-year easy comparison. So that's like essentially like a one-off gain, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
So how much, looking at the cash and investments, going back to page six, the summary page, from June 30th, 21 to 30th, 2022, you see a, you know, an increase of almost $4 million, the change.
Yes.
How much of the net position is due to the blending or taking of the assets from the Lighthouse and bringing it over to First Five? Because what I'm getting at is this, moving forward, it's always important to make sure that the organization is stable and has enough you know, money to meet its obligations. So yes. I was kind of curious, as you looked at the financials, were there any red flags as it relates to ongoing operations?
That is something that we do keep an eye on. So every entity is required to have, whether or not they have a policy to have like a reserve or, hey, to maintain your cash balance, it's one thing. But for us independently, it is important for us to analyze if there's a going concern or if there's something that is showing that they're not going to be able to meet their obligation that requires us to disclose that. So looking at page 12, that's the best way to really summarize everything. So total cash and investments is $30 million. But at the very bottom, to answer your question, the net position breakout, $13 million represents assets that are capital assets, so buildings and
Not liquid.
Right, non-liquid. Restricted has to be, you know, imposed by an external party, essentially like the state. If they say you have to use this money for a specific purpose, do that. Everything else is the unrestricted. So I guess for your own understanding, every time you look at financial statements, if that unrestricted balance is in the negative, that will help you answer your question that overall net position could be positive, but you may not be liquid. You could be having your assets cover your deficit. But that's something to keep in mind, because when it gets too big, that is a question to ask and see what the plan is. Are they going to get more funding? Do they need to cut expenditures? Do they need to do other actions? But overall, you can see everything's positive, and positive by a good amount. So that's good.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Mr. Chairman? Following on that, the building has now been transferred, actually.
Yes.
It's not just counted accounting-wise, but it's been transferred. Yeah. So in next year's, are we going to see that in the capital assets as opposed to the investments?
Or no. It's
in the capital
assets. It's in the capital assets, yeah.
In this one.
So I think it's on page 28. Under that $16 million of buildings and improvements, a good chunk of that is the building. So it was added last year, I believe. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Any other questions?
Yeah.
No.
Thank you. I've got a question for you, sir. Yes. Well, and I'm sorry, I didn't hear your name.
My name?
Yes.
Luis Magallanes. Sorry, Luis Magallanes.
Okay.
Sorry,
Mr. Magallanes, just a question about the property itself.
Mm-hmm.
You have like an empty piece there on
yes.
the west side of the building.
Yes.
What's that going to be used for?
We're still looking into that. We wanted to create a building initially there, but then our commission kind of brought up the idea of, hey, you guys have very limited parking. If you guys build a building and you guys have services, where are the families going to park? So we're still trying to figure out that question. And then it's also, do we have the funds to build a building? Initially, we had a contract with someone to actually create the building, sell the land, and then they were going to create the building. That deal has fallen out, so now we're looking for new options.
Also, behind the building, there's a space between the parking that the library uses, mm-hmm. and fenced off, I believe. It's concrete block or
yes.
something like that. And I thought that was supposed to be a playground for the children.
Yes, it actually is. We have our child development center downstairs, and there is a playground back there.
There is.
Yeah, they have a slide. They have an area for, I believe, not 0 to 5. I want to say 1 to 5, and then toddlers and younger, they have their own area to play as well.
So that's all built out back there then?
Yes, that's all built out back there, okay. Behind the brick walls.
Thank you.
Supervisor Magzigan, Katina, we'd love to show you our building. We talk about it every year, so come by. Come by, and Louise can give you a tour. I'll just be... Yep. I don't know, backup dancer or something.
Yep. More than welcome to come by.
Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Okay. Any questions from the public or comments? Okay. Seeing none, I'll accept the motion.
Motion.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Okay. Item number 7, staff updates. Okay, Oscar.
Oscar Garcia, Auditor Controller. So I did forget one item, and that was thanking staff. So if the staff that I have here, if you go ahead and stand up for completing the ACFR, they spent a lot of overtime over the last, they're looking at me like it's about time, right? So if the staff working on the ACFR can stand up right now, I'll go ahead and introduce you to make sure. It's okay. I mean, they're not going to say anything.
I
helped. Adina, your staff too, me. Rochelle. So we have Daisy here. Daisy, I can't really remember how to say your last name, so how do you say your last name? What's that?
Landeros.
And then Carol Diaz, she's staffed. Carol Diaz is a manager on the audit side, but she helps out on the ACFR. We have in the back Angelica Arredondo. Arredondo. Angelica Arredondo. She's the new manager now, and she's in charge of debt compliance and on the ACFR, so she does the financial statements. And then we have Rochelle Garcia. She is no relation, by the way. She is the chief of financial reporting and audit. She just took it over. She's going to do a lot of that legwork that we were talking about earlier to get all these things straightened out once we have the plan in place. That's in progress with the new that the board approved. We're still working on that. And then we have Enedina Garcia, no relation as well to either one of them. And she is the deputy auditor controller. She spent a lot of overtime, including myself, working on this thing and that book that was presented to you earlier. They're a big part of it. So is staff that is down there. Hopefully they'll get to hear this. So that's all that I had. Thank you very much.
I just want to say thank you to your staff. I know it's hard when you have turnover. And I know it's very hard when you get thrown into different areas. And this is super important. So thank you so much.
Thanks. Thank you for all your work, staff. Appreciate it. Okay, item number 8, adjournment. We are adjourned.
Do we have a next meeting date?
I don't know. Do we have a next meeting date?
Yes.
Do you know it? Is there anything in February?
No, there should be something in May.
Okay.
May 12th.
Okay, thank you.
Is that problem?
I'm not going to be working on the last Friday.
Everything.